What do you do when you are discouraged? What do you do when you unjustly suffer? What do you do when you are slandered and misunderstood by others? You feel your world is falling apart. The foundation is shaking so much, you don't know how far and how long can you hold on. What do you do? Call upon the rock, for he is the only one who's unchangeable. He's the only one whose stability is unquestionable. Even when our world is falling apart, the rock is a symbol of immovability. The life of gratitude, the life of thankfulness is the secret to everything. It's the secret to joy. It's the secret to life of faith. It's the secret to God's blessings. Call upon the rock.
Coming up next on Leading the Way.
Hindsight is the ability to see things clearly after they happen. To see things clearly after they happen. Now, it's the opposite of foresight, because foresight is the ability to see things before they happen. Just about all of us are good at hindsight because we see it. Very few of us have foresight. Someone was describing another person, and he said of him, he said, he can only predict things after they happen. Now, there are some people who spend their lives in regret. There are some people who constantly beating themselves up after every failure. They're constantly second-guessing themselves after every decision. And just as an aside, Himrod, please, when you experience failure, you must get up, dust yourself off, confess to the Lord, repent, ask for His forgiveness, and move forward. I remember one time my son-in-law asked me a question several years ago. He said, if you have to redo it all over again, what would you change? Without a moment hesitation, I said, nothing. I would change nothing. The dark days, the difficult days, the painful days, the joyful days, I would change nothing. And then I caught myself. I said, maybe I would be less intense. I know some of you are saying, you were more intense than you are now. Yeah, you should have seen me when I was younger. Listen to me, please. If I prayed about something, if I prayed about a matter, and if they sought the guidance and the wisdom of wise people, and then I move forward with that, but sometimes, as often happens, things don't work out the way I thought they would work out, or I believe they're going to work out. I ask the Lord to overrule my failures and to strengthen me for the next step. And I believe that's exactly what the psalmist, King David, is saying about hindsight in the second half of Psalm 37. Psalm 37, turn to it, please. In the last message, the first half of the psalm, I pointed to you that this is one of the later psalms toward the end of David's life. And this old King David now is giving us very wise counsel in this psalm. And he said, don't judge situations the way they appear to be. Don't judge them as the way they appear to be. And that is why he said three times in those few verses, fret not of evildoers. Even when you see them appear to be having the upper hand, they really don't. Why? Because we, as we saw in the last message, because of what you cannot see, and because of what you have, and because of what is coming to you, and fourthly, because of the coming judgment on these same wicked, evil people. And so here in the second half of Psalm 37, he is saying, learn from my experience. Learn from my experience. Learn from my hindsight. Benefit from it. Benefit from the lessons of my past failures. Take to heart my experience of sin and suffering and the consequences of my sin and the way I repented of my sins. Learn from the consequences of my wrong decisions so that you might not repeat them. Learn from me the futility of worrying and anxiousness and be encouraged. The three encouraging lessons from hindsight here, they are as follows. First encouraging lessons is this. God will never, ever, ever forsake his faithful children. Verses 23 to 26. Secondly, God, the second encouraging lesson, God's will for you and for me, God's will is the best thing for you. It's the best thing for me. Verses 27 to 34. And the third encouraging lesson from hindsight is that God is truly honored when you trust him, when you fully trust him, when you completely trust him, when you trust him even when you don't understand things. This is verse 35 to 40. So let's look at these very, very quickly. The first encouraging lesson is that God will never forsake his faithful children. He will never forsake his faithful children. As King David reflects on the faithfulness of God in his life and how faithful God is, even in the times when he lied, when he hid, when he ran away, and he reflects on the faithfulness of God throughout the ups and the downs of life, throughout the dark days and the sunny days of his life, throughout the painful times and the joyful times in his life. He basically says that just as a father could never disown his child, God, our Father, will never disown his faithful children, his real children. And the reason emphasis here is on real, because listen to me, there are so many goats in the churches, but they think they're sheep. That is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And that's why he said, if you love me, you obey me. If you want to know if you belong to Jesus or you don't, if you're a real disciple or you're not, is do you obey his word? I know as earthly fathers can never disown their children. I know as a father of four, they're mine, no matter what. They have our blood. They have our genes. And nothing will change that. Even if a child disgraces his family, they will never cease to being their father's and mother's children. So in a far, far, far greater way, listen to me, God, those whom God calls, those whom God have chosen, those whom God adopted as his children, they have their father's heavenly blood flowing through them. They have their father's heavenly genes in their system. Or to be sure, our heavenly father often convicts us. Our heavenly father, out of love, he can rebuke us, but he'll never reject us. And yet David is saying more than that to us in the New Testament today, that the steps of the faithful child of God who has received Jesus as their only Savior and the Lord of their life, their steps are guided by God. though they may miserably fail at times, he or she will not be disowned by the Heavenly Father. They will never be thrown out of his house unless they choose to leave the house. Why? Because they are held in his hand. In his hand. Question, how does this work in the New Testament? How does this work in the New Testament? Let me tell you the obvious, okay? Remember when you first gave your life to the Lord? Remember how excited you were? Remember how joyful you were? Remember how in love with Jesus you became? Remember how grateful you were to him? Remember how you wanted to tell everybody about the love of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ? Remember how you were so devouring the Word of God and you couldn't get enough of the Word of God? How you prayed before every decision? Remember that? But what happens? Just as in the physical realm, we go from being toddlers to being adolescents, spiritually works the same. We go from being spiritual toddlers to being spiritual adolescents. Well, what happens when you become a spiritual adolescent? Like the physical adolescent, you come to the point of thinking that you know everything to be known about God. Hello? You get to the point of thinking that you know everything about the Bible. That you know everything, right? Now, listen to me. Adolescents, listen, are you listening to me? This is not a put down. This is just a fact of life. So what happens in our spiritual adolescence? Comes a decision moment in our life. You seek the Lord as you've done when you were a spiritual toddler, and you give him 24 hours to respond. He doesn't respond. He doesn't respond fast enough for you. And like you used to when you were a spiritual toddler, now that you are growing and that you are becoming closer to being a spiritually mature. Now, whether his delay in response is to teach us lessons, or whether his delay is to teach us to wait, or teach us to trust him, or all of the above. We don't know. All you know is that you are not getting the answers like you had in the past. So what do? You become impatient, and you weigh your options, and you make the wrong choices. And then you fail. And you get splattered all over the place. Meanwhile, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? I've got you. I've got you in my hand. You're mine. I'm upholding you with my hands. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I want you to learn from this failure to help you grow in my walk with me. You are mine, and nothing is going to change that. I'll never desert you or disown you. Repent and seek my face and my forgiveness, and I will give it to you. This wise old man, David, who has been through the ringer. You know what I'm talking about? He's been through the ringer in his life. And if you read his life, you'll understand. I've preached a whole series on David. And he's saying, the steps of the man or woman of God are ordered by the Lord. Though he or she may fail, will never be thrown out. Why? Because the Lord himself upholds him with his own hand. Listen to what Jesus said about this. In John chapter 6, verses 37 and 39 specifically, John 6, here's what Jesus said. All, how many?
All.
Whom the Father gives me will come to me. And whosoever comes to me, I will never, no, never, never, never drive away. Verse 39 of John 6. And this is the will of whom he sent me. Who sent him? Who sent him? Who sent him? This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of what he has given me, but shall raise them up on the last day. He's saying the first encouraging lesson is God will never, ever throw you away. He will never throw away his real children, especially when they repent. Why do I say this? Why do I say this? Because the willingness to confess, the willingness to repent, I even go further than just willingness, the eagerness to confess and repent is an indication whether you are his child or not. Second encouraging lesson is that God's will is the best for you. God's will for you is the best. Michael, even in the times when I don't think so, read my lips. Yes. Michael, even in the times when I think that God's will for me stinks, read my lips again. Yes. Even in the times when I don't feel particularly blessed, yes. Listen, there is no doubt that Job wondered at times, doubted at times, questioned at times, but ultimately he could say, here's a Yusuf translation, your will is just too wonderful for me to comprehend. David experienced the same thing, the same thing. David has experienced the temptation of questioning the will of God for him. Probably sitting in one of those caves, or even when he escaped into the land of the Philistines, pretended to be a madman. I mean, he's thinking all these things that he did, the antics that he got up to, and he questioned the will of God for him. But he also knew, listen to me, he also knew, because that affects everyone at the sound of my voice. He also knew that we all prone to fall in the temptation of thinking that we know best, right? We know best of what's good for us. David understood our vulnerability, all of us, to the thought that we know better than God what is good for us. Verse 27. Depart from evil and do good. What is that evil he's talking about here? What is that evil? What is that evil? It's the evil of falsely accusing God of not caring for you. It is the evil of falsely accusing God when he does not give you what you want. It is the evil of hardening your heart toward God because he did not give you what you want. The evil of anger toward God because of the things you don't understand. He says, depart from that evil. Why? Verse 28. God does not forsake the godly. He never will. God promised to forever watch over the godly. God promised that the faithful will have a fantastic inheritance. First encouraging lesson from hindsight is that God never forsake his own faithful children. Second encouraging lesson of hindsight is that God's will is perfect for you. And the third one is actually naturally follows from that. The third encouraging lesson from hindsight is that God is honored. God is honored when you fully trust him. When you fully trust him. You know, I hear people sometimes say, I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor the Lord. Well, do you know that the greatest honor that you can bestow upon the Lord is that you fully trust him? Not just trust in him, but trust him and trust his word. Yes, even when he delays. Yes, even when he allows inexplicable things happen. Yes, even when his timing does not match your timing. Even when you suffer and the wicked prosper, as we're seeing in our day. Even when you see the wicked succeed, as we're seeing in our day. Even when you see falsehood is rampant, as we see in our day. Even when you see immorality is being praised in public, as we see in our day. Even when you see deceitful people appear to have the upper hand. Even when you see corrupt and lying people appear to get away with it. Don't ever be tempted of thinking that they have the last word. No, no. God will have the last word. Say it with me.
God.
You know, in Psalm 1, the Word of God says, the righteous is like a tree, probably an oak tree, as planted where the water runs freely and constantly flourishing, constantly receiving nutrients. The tree may not look all that attractive. It may not look great like a flower does. May not look beautiful like a flower does. The flower is the wicked, is the evil one. And the flower looks beautiful, right? The flower looks pretty. The flower is easy on the eye. The flower is colorful, but in a short period of time, it's dead, dead, dead. While the tree continues flourishing all the way to eternity. Verses 37 and 38. The faithful at peace no matter what. The faithful is at peace regardless of the circumstances. Verse 39. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Where is salvation? That means it is permanent. It is permanent. Those of you who've been here for a long time, you know, I often tell you this. God does not write your name in the book of life with a pencil. And every time you mess up, he turns it upside down and the eraser, he erases your name. And then when you repent, he puts it back again. No, no, no. Your name is written in the book of life with the blood of Jesus. Verse 40. The Lord will. The Lord what? Not may or possibly, he will deliver them from the wicked. Why? Because they're nice people? No, 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 no. Because they're church people? No. Because they trusted him. Honoring God is trusting him. And trusting him honors him more than anything else. God said this. God says this. Those who honor me, I shall honor, says the Lord.
Receive insightful biblical teaching from Dr. Michael Youssef anytime with the Leading the Way audio and video podcasts, now on all your favorite podcast platforms. Whether at home, in the car, or on the go, you can listen to the daily radio broadcasts or dive into the weekly TV program, all at your fingertips. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way audio and video podcasts are available now on all major podcast platforms. Subscribe today. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.